And then the next Saturday, October the 8th, is our fellowship meeting. So just a few touch-up things that we want to get done and make things look a little more presentable for our fellowship meeting. Ezekiel chapter 1. And I couldn't help but think as we were praying with Brother Ron, and he prayed concerning the Lord being in charge of everything. That is primarily the purpose of this vision of God that Ezekiel had here, was to give Ezekiel a great vision of himself and prepare him for the service that he was calling him to do, to go out. And what better way, when we know that God is in control of everything and he will enable us all the way and protect us. Nothing's going to happen that's not in accordance with his will. We can go forth into battle, can we not? Verses 12 through 14, we began looking at these last week, and they went every one straight forward, that is the cherubim, whether the Spirit was to go. Pay attention to that. Whether the Spirit was to go. The Spirit of God was leading them and directing them where to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Last week we got the movement of the cherubims covered. That was one point with two, four subpoints in there. They were led by the Spirit of God. We emphasized that and looked at scriptures, and we ought to be led by the Spirit of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. Do we always follow His leading as we should? Sometimes we rebel, don't we? And if we continue on in that rebellion, why then the Lord has to reprove us through exhortation, and maybe even, if it comes to it, scourging. But they went straight ahead. We saw last week they divvied not to the right or to the left, but they went straight ahead. And our course is to be straight ahead. You see, the road is straight and narrow, but it's straight. And we have to go straight ahead, keeping our eyes on the Lord and following the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Tonight we want to look at their appearance. They looked, our verse 13 says, they looked like coals, burning coals of fire. Burning coals of fire. The only thing I could come up with this is that the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that the Spirit of God works in, are compared to fire. And as they're compared to fire, we are to stir them up and not quench them. We're going to look at some scriptures. I guess all of them are in the New Testament. But a popular one in the book of Acts and chapter 2. The book of Acts in chapter 2. And of course we know, and you know, that this is the day of Pentecost. And you're aware of what happened on the day of Pentecost. It says in verse 3, "And there appeared unto them," that is unto the church that were gathered together there, waiting for this. They were waiting specifically for this. The Lord had given, the last instructions the Lord had given them was to tarry at Jerusalem until they be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In verse 3 says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. What did the purpose of the Holy Spirit here on the day of Pentecost? What was the purpose of it? Other than God's Shekinah glory, other than God's putting His approval upon His church, He did what with this? He empowered them. He gave them the tools that they needed to do the commission that He had given to them. We could turn back and well, let's do it. The book of Matthew in chapter 10. And I was thinking about this afternoon as I was going over this. In Matthew chapter 10, we have the Lord Jesus Christ sending out the 12. And He said in verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick," verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." You can turn to the book of Luke in chapter 10, and He sent out the 70. And said pretty much the same thing to the 70 when He sent them forth. The purpose in drawing on that is to show you that on the day of Pentecost, when they were empowered to do the work, they already had the ability to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. They already had that ability. But if you notice, they were only to go to the lost sheep of Israel. What's significant in that? The tongue. The language. The Hebrew language. So on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and empowered them, now they could go into the Gentile world. They could go into other nations and they would be able to speak having not learned that language. They would be able to speak to them and they would hear the gospel message given unto them. But notice that it's as a cloven tongue, as a fire. The gift of the Holy Spirit was as fire. The cloven tongue, there is a word in the Hebrew that would be similar to that, and you'll find that in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. And if you know Isaiah chapter 6, you know it is the vision that Isaiah had of God high and lifted up, exalted. But it says in verse 2, it says, above it stood the seraphims. Down in verse 6, it says, then flew one of the seraphims. The word here for seraphims actually means fiery serpents. Fiery serpents is what the word seraphim actually means in the Hebrew. Fiery serpents. As it begins to click, cloven tongues. A fire. A serpent has a cloven tongue. And so cloven tongues of fire. Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy now. Keeping in mind that the gifts of the Spirit are compared to fire. And that as we are endued with the gift, a gift, and it's the Holy Spirit that gives it to us, that we're to use it. We're to stir it up. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He told Timothy that he would stir up the gift of God that was in him. It is that gift which was worked in him by the Spirit of God, and he was to stir that up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. And I should be able to quote this verse. Quench not the Spirit. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Obviously, you can't put out the Spirit of God, can you? You can't extinguish the Spirit of God like you would extinguish a fire. Is that possible? Not possible, is it? So what is he talking about? Quench not the Spirit. I believe wholeheartedly that he's talking about don't quench that gift that the Spirit of God has worked in you. That which the Spirit of God has worked in you, don't put it out. Don't. Well, like the song the children sing, let this little light shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. Don't hide it. Don't use it. I mean, use it. Don't not use it. When we don't use it, we're said to extinguish it. You understand? Along with this thinking now, I want to compare those thoughts with what we have in the book of Acts in chapter 6. The book of Acts in chapter 6. And look with me here at verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, instructions to the church to choose deacons. Look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What does it mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? You have the Holy Ghost. What's it mean to be full of it? Can you have more of the Spirit? Either you have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit, right? Can you have any more of the Spirit? No, you can have more of the gifts of the Spirit. These men were to be full of the Holy Spirit. They were to be exercising that which the Holy Spirit had worked into them, actively exercising. We all are to be actively exercising that which the Spirit of God has exercised in us. And what is the Spirit of God exercising in us? Well, if nothing else, turn with me to the book of Galatians. Verse 14, "For as the law is fulfilled in one word," for all the law is filled in one word, "even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now he's going to tell you what walking in the Spirit is. He's going to tell you what being filled with the Spirit is. "And ye shall, if you're walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Romans chapter 7, Paul addressed that, did he not? "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that ye which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit..." And it's not plural. It's singular. It's a cluster. All this is to be worked in you. The Holy Spirit of God is working this in you. And to walk in the Spirit is to manifest these characteristics, to manifest this cluster of fruit. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, these men back in Acts chapter 6, that they were to look out and choose, they were to be full of the Holy Spirit. They were to be full of this. They love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These things were to be evident in their lives. They were to be exercising those things, and as well as the truth and knowledge of the Word of God. Listen, all these things take in truth and knowledge of the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And we are not to quench that which the Holy Spirit is working in us. Now, all of the attacks, as it applies to Ezekiel back here, all of the attacks of reproach, persecution, cannot quench the Spirit, cannot quench love. Turn with me to the book of the Song of Solomon. In chapter 8. Look with me at verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire. What burns like a fire? The gift of love. This is the church relationship to the bridegroom. It's, that Solomon is talking about that relationship that is there, and the love that is there between the bridegroom and his bride. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. It's not just a low smoldering, glowing flame, but it's a most vehement flame. It is a furious flame. It is a very forcible flame that is burning the bride. For the bridegroom for the bride. You see. I go back to the time when my wife and I were dating. It's not that long ago, brother. It's not that long ago. It'll be 45 years this March, but it's not that long ago. I can go back there just like that. And you couldn't keep me away from her house. You couldn't keep me away from her. Her dad would have had to put his foot down and said, you can't come. And that would have killed me. I was there. There was a fire that was burning. Is that fire burning in Grace Baptist Church toward her bridegroom? I know it's burning in the bridegroom for his bride. But is it burning in Grace Baptist Church for the bridegroom? Look at verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love. You see, many waters can't put out that love. That vehement flame. Neither can the flood drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. That is, all the substance of his house would be hated because he loves the one whom he's espoused to so much, so greatly. Isn't that what Paul said? Back in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, in verse 8, he said, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." I've got to be more of Christ. I am serving Christ and Him and nothing else. Where's our love? How strong is our love for the Lord Jesus Christ burning in our souls? Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah 43. Verse 1 says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." What can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus? There's nothing. Nothing. Now that's as it speaks to us. Why was it important that Ezekiel see this? Well, can you imagine? Ezekiel was to see this and to see every aspect of this vision of God right down to this appearance to prepare him for chapter 2 and 3 when God's going to send him forth with his message. Send him to be the watchman to the house of Israel and to the other ones mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. Not only were they compared to burning coals of fire, they had the appearance of lamps, of a torch. What was the purpose of a torch? What's the purpose of a torch? For light? For light? To see? We're to be light in this dark world. You agree this is a dark world? You all watch the debate Monday night? It's a dark world. I said, boy, we don't have much of a choice. But I know one person that I just can't vote for. No way. So it's looking like the clear choice is Mr. Trump. I did see something on Facebook that I could relate to. It said, likened Donald Trump to a surgeon. You know, surgeons are not noted for their bedside manners. And I have a general practitioner right now that's not noted for his bedside manners. And anyhow, it goes on to say that he comes up there and in his rude and crude sort of way, he tells the person they need to lose 100 pounds and quit smoking. And the person gets furious and hot, excited with him, like when my general practitioner told me I needed to lose weight, you know, and just wanted to talk to me about bariatric surgery. And every time I went in there, he wanted to talk about bariatric surgery. Well, I got disgusted with him. Well, I'm only telling it for your good, you see. And I don't like Trump's demeanor. And the way he says a lot of the things he says, it's not that I disagree with so much of what he says, I just don't like the way he says it. But a lot of what he's saying, if you think about it, It'd be good for our country. You see. That's a little bit off the track. You can toss it out if you want. Turn with me to the book of Judges. But we're to let our light shine in this dark world. Turn with me to Judges chapter 5. And verse 31. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the what? The sun. S-U-N. When he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. They were to be as the sun. They were to shine bright when they went forth in the land. In other words, the people that were there were to know that they were the people of God. They were to be shining bright in a dark land. A lot of times you hear a lot of comparison of the Canaan land being compared to heaven. I don't think there's a lot of comparison there. Canaan land was full of evil and wickedness and so forth, and persecuted Israel. And of course, part of that was because Israel was supposed to cast them all out of the land. But I don't see a whole lot of likeness there in Canaan land to heaven. Heaven's glorious. There's no evil, no wickedness there to cast out. Nothing's going to enter there that is evil and wicked, you see. But turning now to the book of Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 60. In verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Did you get that in the verse? Our light is come. Jesus Christ has come. We're to arise and shine.
Are you reading from Isaiah
6? 60 in verse 1, brother.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Maybe I said 6. If I did, I meant 60. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. You see, the people of God are to be light shining forth, so that others might come to the light. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 18. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Oh, what a great truth that is. You see, we're to be a light shining brightly, but we're not just to shine brightly, we're to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. You say, how do you do that? As we get more glimpses, more and glorious and heavenly glimpses of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, from His Word, we're to shine brighter. Shine brighter. It is to have a greater effect upon the life which we live here by faith. Of course, you know the passage in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the way you light your light so shine is to put it on the candlestick. Let it shine forth brighter and brighter that they may see our good works and glorify God. All right, we'll quit there tonight. Didn't get through that whole one point there, but I don't know. I think we had some good stuff. Shall we stand? Be dismissed in word of prayer. Brother Ron, would you dismiss us, please?